Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Newsmakers from America and around the world speak with journalists in an unscripted and unrehearsed discussion about the critical issues facing the United States and the world. Here is your host on this edition of Press Conference USA, Carol Castiel.
Welcome to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Joining me on the program is VOA Senior Middle East Reporter Mohammed El-Shenawi. Our special guest on this edition of the program is Amnon Reshef. He's a retired general with the Israel Defense Forces who served as the 14th Brigade Commander in the Yom Kippur War of 1973. General Reshef is the author of We Will Never Cease, the 14th Brigade in the Yom Kippur War, published in 2013. Major General Reshef was also commanding general of the Armored Corps from 1979 to 1982. He retired from active military service in 1984. Last year in November, Major General Reshef organized more than 100 retired IDF generals and Mossad leaders in signing a petition directed at Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, urging him to engage moderate Arab countries and be courageous in creating regional peace. It is called Commanders for Israel's Security. Speaking to the press recently in New York City, Reshef said that the goal was to influence Israeli perspectives and opinion, which he says have been brainwashed for over 40 years with settlements in the West Bank and Golan Heights. Although he has been critical of the Obama administration on some points, Major General Reshef has also blamed Netanyahu for endangering Israel's critical relationship with the United States. So, how will the Palestinians' recent attempt to internationalize their campaign for statehood by joining the ICC, International Criminal Court, and other world bodies complicate the search for a two-state solution? This gambit coming at a time when the Fatah-Hamas leadership struggle continues and when Israel is preparing for elections in March has raised the profile of long-simmering problems following a summer of intercommunal violence and open warfare in Gaza. We'll discuss the current status of relations between Israel and the Palestinians, as well as prospects for resuming peace talks with our special guest, retired Major General Amnon Reshef. Major General Reshef, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Carol.
And we are delighted.
And Mohammed as well.
Thank you very much.
Mohammed El-Shenawi, thank you for joining me. Thanks. Well, Major General Reshef, first of all, talk about what brings you here to Washington and what prompted you to establish the Commanders for Israel's Security Initiative.
I'm here in Washington, D.C. to meet some of my colleagues from some other peace organization, some politicians, and some other organization in order to cooperate in the near future and on the long-term basis. It's different discussion between the various organizations, but we have our main goal, which is to bring some peace arrangement between Israel and the neighboring Arab countries, including the Palestinians.
Major General Reshef, excuse me for being a little pessimistic, but again, you know, we are in the aftermath of the war in Gaza, the tension surrounding, you know, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, also known as Haram al-Sharif, the Palestinians' bid for statehood via the United Nations, a failed U.S. initiative to broker an agreement. I mean, what makes you think that now, you know, you can resurrect, you know, this initiative for peace in such a dismal context?
No question that there are a lot of obstacles and difficulties, but one should think what will be in the future. No question that with all the terror action which was conducted in Paris and elsewhere, it doesn't support our effort. But I think that the only way to go to have a solution for two states, for the two people, which is Palestinian independent state and Israel as a Jewish democratic country.
Indeed, and before I turn over to my colleague Mohammed, I just have one more question. You talk about appealing to the current Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu by matching the so-called Arab Peace Initiative with, you know, an Israeli initiative. Remind us of the Arab Peace Initiative and to what extent it still remains a viable option. I'm assuming you're talking to those who promulgated it, the Saudis and others. Are they in on, you know, what you're proposing?
Okay, the Arab Peace Initiative was launched back in 2002. Since already 12 years when it was launched, the Arab country leaders, they came to the conclusion that they have to moderate the initiative and dealing with some facts, you know. Over the years, Israel has developed some settlements, some blocks of settlement. So right now, it's accepted by the international community and the Arab world as well that these three blocks of settlement will be a part of sovereign Israel. And with a kind of land swaps. The Palestinians will be concentrated accordingly. Now, there are some other subject matter. Before, when the API was initiated, it was a kind of conditional term. So once the Israel will come to some settlement, peace settlement, with the Palestinians, then the other Arab and Muslim countries will establish some peace relation with Israel. It's not a condition anymore, and it can be conducted equally. Mm-hmm. So one step in the Palestinian side, and then it will be another step on with the other Arab countries as well. So it will be done simultaneously and not conditionally as it was originally planned. Then there is another major issue, which is the Golan Heights. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depends on the point of view, we don't have any kind of Syrian partners. Who is Syria?
A good question.
Yeah. So right now, the Golan Heights is not a subject matter that can be or should be discussed because we don't know what will be in Syria in the future. As to the relevancy of this API, each and every year, the Arab League reaffirms the initiative. So it's valid initiative that should be considered. Now, in our letter to the Prime Minister, we are not asking him, take it as it is. What we are asking him, listen, there is an Arab Peace Initiative. It might be a good basis, a good start. And please, lead, make your own Israeli initiative. And then we can start with negotiation with the various parties. Now, if somebody is reading carefully the letter, it's a very polite, non-aggressive letter, and we urge him to enter into this peace negotiation. We are telling him, but at the end, once you go ahead, we will support you. Unfortunately, although the letter was provided to the government on the 30th of October, it's already almost 3 months, no response for the Prime Minister.
That's interesting. I was just going to ask you what impact it is having. You just told us. Well, let me turn to Mohammed for a question.
General, how would you define the parameters of such an initiative that would come from Israel to combine the Arab initiative and Israeli concerns?
The main issue which concerns the public of Israel is security. Because, as we know, only a few days ago, there was a terror attack in Israel. Secondly, it's already, until last summer, 14 years that Hamas launched rockets and missiles from the Gaza to Israel. Now, one should imagine how mother can raise their kids worrying every minute, every second that a mortar will kill their son or girl. When I think about my grandchildren are growing under this atmosphere, it's unacceptable. So we have to make sure that Palestine should be demilitarized. They can have some small arms, light armored vehicle, in order to secure their homeland. Otherwise, they shouldn't have, and I think that they don't want to have, tanks, aircraft, artillery, and not even rockets. So we have to make sure that no tunnels will be digged in the West Bank because they are so close to the Israeli settlement and villages inside the Green Line or the Israeli border. And there are some other subject matter that should be discussed. I think that the Jordan River should be a security border of Israel. we have to make sure that no terror organization are crossing the valley of the Jordan River, entering the West Bank, threatening the Israeli people. And I'll tell you, I think that the Islamic terror movement, they are threatening not only Israel, but only the moderate Arab countries, and specifically the people of Palestine. So we have to take the necessary arrangement to make sure that the two people, so to say, the Israelis and the Palestinians, will have quiet, healthy, good life.
But how about the borders? Remember, President Obama went to Congress a few years ago asking for their support of an initiative to restart the negotiations based on the June 4th, 1967 borders with swap in portions of land on each side. Then Prime Minister Netanyahu was invited to Congress and refuted the whole initiative, and then everything collapsed. So what kind of vision your initiative have for borders of the Palestinian state?
It should be based on the 1967 lines with some adjustment according to the demographic and the security requirements of Israel. Now, the future border between Palestine and Israel, it's almost agreed by all parties. It might be that there are some minor differences between the parties, and it can be reachable, and it should be reachable by mutual understanding. And we spoke about land swamps, so they will be concentrated according to some pieces of land that will be a part of the future Israel, so to say, the three main blocks of settlement, which are well known.
You're listening to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Our guest is retired Israeli Major General Amnon Reshef. He is the founder of Commanders for Israel Security. That's a movement representing more than 150 retired high-ranking security officials that aims to accelerate efforts toward a two-state solution between Israelis and Palestinians. I'm Carol Castiel, and joining me on the program is VOA Senior Middle East Reporter Mohammed El-Shanawi. This is a reminder that our PCUSA podcast is available for free download on iTunes. You can find the download by clicking on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com/PCUSA. You may follow me on Twitter at Carol Castiel VOA, connect with us on Facebook, or send us an email to PCUSA@voanews.com. And here's a shout out to a loyal listener, Amir Shakil from Karachi, Pakistan. Well, back to you, Major General Amnon Reshef. You said earlier that you got no response from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This is not a very positive sign. So the question is how representative are the signatories of, you know, of this letter, of your initiative, and to what extent do you think you reflect Israeli public opinion? Because we hear about lots from the settlers, ultranationalists, some of whom are really just have given up on peace with the Palestinians, for whom, you know, the threat from Iran and perhaps Islamist extremism in the region are higher priorities. How do you combat these great, you know, obstacles? Or, and again, to what extent are you representative in your approach?
By now, we have already 170 journalists in our movement. We are growing very fast each and every day. Now, you know, there are extremes on both sides. But the question, what think the majority? Now, according to polls, which were taken over the last couple of years, about 80% of the Israeli people are supporting this two-state for two-people solution. So a lot of Israelis are willing to solve the problem once they will be sure that they can secure their family, they can secure their children. And we are here as generals, as experts on the security. You know, we carry more than 5,000 years of security on our shoulders. So we know what is security. By the way, I didn't mention it. We are all volunteer. We don't have any self-interest, not political, not economic, just our only interest is the future of the state of Israel. So therefore, we are very objective, and we think that it can be achieved.
Well, General Amnon Reshef, it's very impressive that you and other generals are promoting this because, as you said, of all people, you know the cost of war and the importance of security and a peace agreement. Similar to perhaps the former heads of Shin Bet who recently spoke in a film, The Gatekeepers, talking about that there was a necessity of trying to solve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict urgently. So if you're not getting any response from the current prime minister, to what extent is this initiative timed to coincide with the upcoming Israeli elections in March?
According to the Israeli laws, we are not allowed to support or reject any party. What we are going to do is just to educate, to persuade the Israeli public that peace can be achieved while we are securing the interests of Israel. We have members from the right parties, center parties, left parties. Mm-hmm. Actually, when somebody is coming to be a member of our movement, we don't ask, what party do you support? I don't care. Once he adopts our vision, he's a member of us. So we don't identify ourselves with a party or some parties. We are non-partisan movement without any connection to the parties. Now,
well, that makes you all the more credible, even.
Yeah. It gives us a lot of strength. And as I mentioned before, as we don't have any kind of personal interest, it gives us also the strength because we are objective about it. Now, we are going to approach all the party leaders, and unfortunately we have too many of them, and trying to provide them our vision and trying to persuade them. Although the Prime Minister didn't answer our letter, we are going to approach him once again to meet him, to get his response, and see what will be. And then the public will decide.
Well, Major General Reshef, before I turn again to my colleague Mohammed, I just have a question. I'm going to quote from your letter. You said to Prime Minister Netanyahu in your letter of October 30th, 2014, "We are in the midst of the memorial days marking the fallen of the Yom Kippur War, a war that stemmed from the political blindness of the Israeli leadership." And of course, you were the 14th Brigade commander in the Yom Kippur War. And you go on to say that we are concerned that similar blindness will thwart the opportunity before us. Talk about the comparison between then, 1973, and now.
By now, we know that the 1973 war, Yom Kippur War, can be avoided if the leaders on both sides, the Egyptian side and the Israeli side, would be more effective, more aggressive in the right way. Right now, we think that there is an historical opportunity. You know, with all the countries in our region, they are two main enemies. One is Iran, and the other one is a group of the extreme Muslim movement with all the terror that they have conducted. Now, it's a threat that's threatening not just Israel, but all the other countries as well, because they threaten Jordan, they threaten Egypt, the Saudi Arabia, and
now,
the Gulf state.
Are you referring primarily to ISIL as well as Al-Qaeda?
Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Hamas.
Okay, you are
Hezbollah.
Throwing Hamas. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there are several groups, and they are threatening, by now, they are threatening the cultural world. In Paris, it was not only against Jews, it was also against some naive reporter who were working in a newspaper. So let's go back to our region. All the moderate Arab countries and Israel have the same interest to fight or to cope with those two threats. And therefore, it's a kind of historical opportunity that should be used to settle all the conflict in our region. And by not doing it, by ignoring the opportunity, it wasn't 20 years ago, but right now, there is an opportunity, and we have to use it to solve the problems.
So, General, do you think the regional realities like the so-called Islamic State and the rise of radicalism in the region would create some sort of urgency in Israel to reach a comprehensive peace with the Palestinians and the entire Arab world? Or, like every other Israeli elections, hopes are rising, then dashed after the coalition is formed by threats of the right wing to boycott or withdraw from the coalition if the prime minister would go ahead with the Palestinian peace initiative?
First of all, I don't know what would be the result of our general election. And after the election, we'll sit down and see what strategy to adapt or to adjust. I think that you actually mentioned two subject matter. All the Islamic extreme movement, terror movement, they are threatening not, as I said before, not just Israel, but all the other countries as well. So it's a common interest, regardless who will be elected in Israel. I think that by now, it's not just a Middle East problem. It's a developed world issue. It's the European issue as well, because we know what happened in Paris only recently. I'm not speaking about the terror action in Tel Aviv or elsewhere. I'm speaking about Europe, about Paris.
But even Israel now is bordering the Islamic State. That's even an urgency for Israel to move and get rid of a grievance by some that's being used by ISIS to recruit fighters.
Yeah, but ISIS recruit fighters from Israel, from Palestine, and from Europe. I think that from Israel there are just few who went to ISIS. But I think that the interest of Israel, first of all, to enter into such security arrangement with the neighboring countries, and then we can cooperate, we can share intelligence, we can share measures, and we can then, together with the international community, fight against these threats, whether it's in Syria, in Iraq, or elsewhere.
So if Prime Minister Netanyahu ended up to be the winner in the elections, would he change his approach to Middle East peace? Or you are betting on a new face that would come and start a real peace negotiations?
I don't know what will be the agenda of Mr. Netanyahu. If he will not enter into this peace negotiation, we will have to act accordingly. Because, you see, otherwise it will be just one state for two people, which will be the end of the Zionist dream. And Israel will be either not democratic country, or it might be even minority. So I don't want that my kids and my grandchildren will live in such an environment.
Well, General Amnon Reshef, with all due respect, we have heard this argument before, the demographic argument. We heard it many years ago. But we are now where we are without any real movement. And we have now the Palestinians joining the International Criminal Court, going through the United Nations. This is a major impediment, is it not, to your vision? And
yeah,
it must be a challenge for you to persuade Israeli public opinion as well as political leadership, whether on the right or the left.
I think that the recent Palestinian steps were a mistake. Not to say that the Israeli leaders, they have not done some mistakes. It happened to be that both sides, the leaders of Israel and the Palestinian Authority, become to be more and more extreme. Now, the question for us is to see whether we accept it and what will be the future, whether we should be quiet, passive, or we should be active. And I think that Israel should launch some initiative which will be accepted by the Arabs and by the international community, and it is achievable. And that is our goal.
So do you see any regional role in facilitating such initiative? Do you see a role for Egypt, Jordan? And what do you think of the future role of the United States after its failure in bridging the gap between the two sides?
I think that each and every Arab country has its own role. I think that Jordan has a very important role cooperating with the Palestinian Authority and with Israel in order to prevent any penetration of radical Islamic movement to Jordan / to Palestine or to Israel. We have the common threat. I think that Egypt has very important role. I think that it, as I understand, that General Assisi, the Egyptian president, is a leader and he can lead the coalition or the group of the Arab countries towards the right negotiation with Israel. I think that Saudi Arabia, actually, Arab Peace Initiative resulted out of the King of Saudi Arabia initiative.
Right.
So it is legacy. And I think that, therefore, he might have very important role, especially in Jerusalem, as the holy city, the holy place for the three religions. And one shouldn't ignore the financial aspect. And I think that some of the Gulf state will have to participate in financing to improve the Palestinian way of life in order to have quality of life. And then they will understand that they might lose if they will follow all this extreme terror movement, like the Hamas and the Hezbollah and the others.
Amnon Reshef is a retired major general who served as the 14th Brigade commander in the Yom Kippur War. He's the founder of Commanders for Israel Security, and that's a group of more than 150 retired, high-ranking security officials pressing for the Israeli political leadership to embark on a regional effort to respond to the Arab Peace Initiative. Well, General Reshef, we cannot thank you enough for coming in and sharing your insights, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much, Carol and Muhammad. It was my pleasure to be with you and to discuss the subject matter with you. Thank you very much.
Press Conference USA on the Voice of America was produced in Washington. Thanks to Anna Zalewski for booking our guest. Our engineer was Dave Magnus. And joining me on the program was VOA Senior Middle East Reporter Mohammed El-Shanawi. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.
Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. From Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, the Voice of America has brought you Press Conference USA. You can email your questions or comments about this edition of Press Conference USA to pcusa@voanews.com. And to keep up with all the latest news, tune to the Voice of America on radio, television, or the World Wide Web. Join us again next week when another newsmaker speaks with journalists about the critical issues facing the United States and the world. We'll see you next week for another edition of Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.